So first, do we all agree as Christians we should give, right? Everybody agree with that? Does anybody disagree with that? Okay, so, all right, we're all in then, right? Everybody agrees. All right, so I'm going to do it this way. Show of hands. How much should we give as Christians? Who says 10%? Okay, got a few. Good. All right. Who says what I feel led to give and can afford, which is no particular percentage, but just what I feel led to give and can afford? All right, good. Got it. Okay. All right, good. Who says as much as possible? All right, got a few of those. Good. All right. So if you didn't raise your hand, I'm going to assume that you have a different answer, and that's okay. Even among Christians, there's some variance to this answer. Here's a quick giving statistic from a resource that Lee shared with me. The average Christian today gives 2.5% of their income to the church, versus 3.3% during the Great Depression of the 1930s. Does that number surprise you? I feel like that statistic, though, has been pretty around that kind of 2.5% to 4% range for as long as I can kind of remember hearing people talk about that. And along with that question about how much, usually it's followed by questions around what should you base your giving on? Is it your salary? All compensation? What if you're self-employed or have variable income? Do I base it on my take-home pay? Do I include gifts that I receive? Again, there's a lot of variance even among Christians on the answer here. All right, let's think about who should you give to? Okay, no hands, just think this kind of in your head. So, should it all be to Cornerstone? No amen, Pastor. Right? Or should it be among churches and even parachurch groups? So think RIFA, or Dream Center, or Care Center, or Birth Choice, right? Or giving includes all the above, plus charities and organizations like Boys and Girls Club, Red Cross, and Habitat for Humanity, and United Way, and Boy Scouts, right? And then, how much should that be split if it's more than just your church? So how much should the church get, and how much should other organizations get? Again, there's a lot of variance around this question. So now, maybe the most important question, why should we give? And this one, I'm going to open up. Why? I apologize in advance. My writing, my children will tell you. Not very good, but I'll try to make it where you can read what's happening. So, all right. Why should we give? Anybody have any thoughts on that?
Because God tells us to give.
I like it. All right. So the good news is, since you were the first person to respond, I have a gift for you. This is a book by Randy Alcorn called The Treasure Principle. Randy is a good author, was a pastor for a while, wrote several books, wrote a really good book about heaven. Wrote this book, also wrote a book called Money, Possessions, and Eternity, which is really, really good. I'm going to be referencing those throughout the semester at different times. But luckily today, it's a really good book, by the way. If you don't win one at some point, then I recommend you should get one. It's about 100 pages. It's very small. It will not take you long to read, but impactful. A lot of stuff going on there. So, all right. Sorry, camera right there in front of you. All right, God tells us to give. What else?
Out of thankfulness.
I also do not spell well, so try to use short words. Get confused. There's no spell check on the board up here, so I'm hard time. Anything else?
To change our hearts.
I like that, Krista. Good. Put my pen on up here to change. All right.
It's an act of
surrender because we know that it's all God's anyways.
All right. What would you say? Which would you rather say? It's an act of surrender or it's all God's anyways?
Both.
It's both. I'm just trying to think how to write it.
I think the latter. It's all God's.
That's good. All right. So, a couple more common reasons that people give. If any of them sound like these, we'll kind of look through that. So, need. A lot of people say, well, give because of need, right? Give because good things need to get done, right? Could be relief after a natural disaster. Could be sharing the gospel in an unreached church. So, all right.
Yeah.
We'll say that was maybe one need. Obligation, because we're supposed to do it, right? Maybe sort of like number one there. It's the right way to respond for how we've been blessed. Okay. Let's take a couple of those. Yet the New Testament presents different motivations for giving. So, here's two quick examples. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 3 tells us that if I give away all I have, but have not love, I gain nothing. That's fascinating, right? In God's eyes, the value of the gift comes not from how badly it is needed, but from whether or not I give in love. Give for the wrong reasons, and what you've done is of no value at all, no matter the worthiness of the need that you're meeting. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, we read that God loves a cheerful giver. Really? Does the Red Cross care about your motives when you write them a check? Do politicians care about why you're supporting their campaign? Yet it's the cheerful giver who pleases God. That's contrary to giving because you have to or out of obligation. Giving out of obligation shows off how obedient we are. But giving with joy or cheer glorifies God. Remember that God in no way needs our money. Right? Someone look up, if you don't mind, and read Psalm chapter 50, verse 12. Psalm 50, verse 12.
While somebody's looking that up, I have a question.
All right, questions.
Is the main point of this Sunday school lesson monetarily giving, or is it also time and that kind of thing?
I think a lot of it is probably going to revolve around the monetary side, and we'll kind of talk through kind of the reasons why. I think from a money standpoint, it can be a lot of angst that can go along with that. Money can be a negative in a lot of ways, and so trying to figure out maybe how to move more positive. But I think from a giving standpoint, giving resources, time, all that's important for sure. Yeah.
Do I get a book?
I don't have another one this week right now, but if you come back in 2 weeks, I do have an apple though. I'd have to give your apple back to you. If you come back in 2 weeks, you never know if you ask the right questions.
All right, I got Psalm 50, 12.
All right, here we go.
If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world and its fullness are mine.
Good. So everything belongs to God, right? Even the money we think we are giving to Him already belongs to Him. God has never once been frustrated for lack of money. So why does God care about our giving? It's not because He needs our money. It's because He wants our hearts. That's why God wants cheerful giving. We should strive to see giving as an opportunity, not an obligation. You want to give with anticipation, with excitement, with joy. Those are all foundational to giving well. So, why should we give? I'm going to review three reasons that were laid out, again, from a church resource that Lee had found and shared with me. It's actually called Why Should I Give to My Church? So, number one, you should give Kristen for your heart. Give for your heart. Proverbs 23, verse 4 and 5 describe the fleeting nature of wealth. Do not toil to acquire wealth. Be discerning enough to desist. When your eyes light on it, it is gone. For suddenly it sprouts wings, flying like an eagle towards heaven. You don't want to give your heart to something like that. That's just what Jesus told us, isn't it? In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus told the crowd, lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Our hearts naturally follow our treasure. I can remember a saying growing up. If you'll let me read your check register. By the way, does everybody know what a check register is? Some people in here just looking around may not know what a check register is. My children have never written a check, so they don't know what a check register is. So maybe in today's world, it might be, if you let me have access to your online banking, if you let me see what you spend your money on, I can tell you where your heart is. So think on that for just a second. If I know how you're spending your money, I know where your heart is, because that's what's important to you. Laying up treasure in heaven is one of the Bible's main arguments for why we should give. It's there to protect our hearts from becoming attached to the things of this world. How much do you long for heaven? And how much do you long for the enticements of this world? Maybe without even consciously doing so. That's Matthew 6, 20 and 21 as a thermometer. Jesus asking to lay up treasure for yourself in heaven, taking the temperature of your life. Put your treasure in heaven and your heart will follow. What does your giving say about your heart? Consider that for just a moment. What does your giving say about your heart? God wants your desires and dreams and affections and ambitions to be built around Him and His promises, not on things of this world that will surely disappoint and disappear. Okay, so number two, why give? For your reward. The letter to the Philippians is, in part, a thank you note from Paul to the church at Philippi for their financial support. Thank you notes are a great way to ask people to keep giving, which makes Paul's words at the end of the letter rather unexpected. Philippians 4, verse 11, Paul says, not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am in to be content. And then he follows up in verse 17 with, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. Paul emphasizes that he has no needs, and yet he was still thankful that they gave, not for his sake, but for theirs. He wants them to give because they get something out of giving. That's the second major reason the Bible gives for why you should give. Eternal reward. What you do with your money today will impact you forever. I'm going to repeat that. What you do with your money today will impact you forever. This reality calls for a careful approach to money. In fact, if this truth about eternal reward does not factor into your decisions about money, then your financial strategy is woefully short-sighted. For some of us, a failure to be deliberate about our money actually feels virtuous. I'm just not into money, so you know you can't take it with you, right? To the contrary, the financially ambivalent must remember that how we view money is a key key indicator of faith. In Jesus' famous parable of the talents in Matthew 25, the master called the servant who was ambivalent about stewarding his wealth wicked and slothful, and his end should be a warning to us all. And then number three, finally, you should give for God's glory. You should give for God's glory. Giving shows off the goodness and glory of God. How does it do that? Our hearts will swell with a desire to give when they swell with an appreciation for how amazing God is. Every time you give, you are making a statement that God is better than anything else you could have done with that money. Sometimes giving requires just a little bit of faith, but other times you are incredibly tempted to do something else with that money. And giving it away takes a lot of faith. Yet when giving requires faith, that statement you make about God's worthiness is all the more powerful, isn't it? Hebrews 11 verse 6 says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And for me personally, this is an area that I kind of struggle with giving. Is how much faith am I displaying with the amount that I give? It is your faith that turns a financial transaction into something of eternal value. Does my giving do this? Is it respectable in the eyes of the world? Or is it crazy and foolish from the world's perspective? Because we're risking everything with the promises of God. So why do I think a class like this is important? My hope and prayer is that it will help us shape our thoughts around why we give, how much we should give, and who should we give to. Over the next 12 weeks, we're going to discuss, study, think about, see what Scripture says, and hear some thoughts from others who have also pondered these same questions. And my hope is that you come away with help in forming your own answers around these questions, answers that are best for you and your families. And something you can agree upon with your spouses and share and teach your children to pass down the generations. Each week, the first part of our time, we're going to devote to the topic for that week, for sharing insights and scriptures, for discussion and interactive questions. And I'll try to leave time toward the end of class to answer or discuss any questions you may have around personal finance. Okay? You're welcome to ask here in the group. We'll have time at the end if you want to do that, because there's a good chance if you're asking it, there's likely somebody else dealing with a similar situation or question. Or you can ask me individually after class, or even during the week. I've written my cell number up there. You're welcome to have it. One of the ministries for the years, as we've served in different churches, is being able to meet with people and do financial counseling. So I'd be glad to do that here at Cornerstone as well, if someone is looking for that. But just to be clear, this is not a class on how to diversify your 401k or which home loan is a better option, though I do enjoy discussing those. But in this class, if we cover topics like that, I hope it's through the lens that how improving your finances can lead to a situation where you can afford to give more. Over the semester, we'll start, as we should, with what the Bible has to say around these topics. I'm going to be out of town on September 17th, and so Lee has agreed to share some of his insights from his studies with years on those subjects. And I believe you may be speaking on kind of a transition from the Old Covenant to New Covenant. That's right. Great. Lee and I have spoken many times about these ideas on how to handle one's finances. I know he has some great personal insights he's going to be willing to share also throughout the semester. After a few weeks around study of the scriptures, we'll spend the remaining weeks talking about some of these why, who, and how much questions. I'll be using a book called God and Money, which ironically I happen to run across at the local Goodwill store here in Jackson. I had never heard of it before. It is authored by John Cortins and Greg Balmer. The premise behind the book is really interesting. John and Greg are both evangelical believers who are attending Harvard's business school. As they realized the incomes that they would earn upon graduation, they began to discuss how it might affect their incomes and lifestyles and their giving. One of the authors was more prone to spending, while the other was more prone to saving. In fact, to the point he was trying to retire by age 40. I think it actually was in his email thing. It was retire by 40 or something. Though both had been and planned to be faithful in giving, so it wasn't that they weren't giving. But as they talked and studied and prayed, they began to question their thoughts around handling money, giving, even long-term goals. They even authored a paper for class using information they gathered from previous Harvard grads about giving. Through the book, they share their insights, and since they are academics, they've studied this topic. I thought it might be interesting to see how they arrived at some of their findings. So we'll go through the book each week, review those findings. I'll also sprinkle in some thoughts from others like Randy Alcorn, we mentioned with Money, Possessions, and Eternity, Treasure Principle, and some other ideas like that. For me, when I found and read this book, I thought, finally, I've been struggling with some of these same questions for years. And here are two guys, Christian guys who actually studied it, were thoughtful about it, were willing to be transparent about their struggles and their journey, and were faithful to Scripture as well. Reading it has helped me and my family focus on the who, why, and how much questions specific just to our situation. Everybody's situation is different, I get that. And toward the end of the semester, I'll try to share a little more about what we've been thinking ourselves on these issues. C.S. Lewis wrote this in his book, Mere Christianity. I do not believe one can settle how much we ought to give. I'm afraid the only safe rule is to give more than we can spare. In other words, if our expenditure on comforts, luxuries, amusements, etc., is up to the standard common among those with the same income as our own, we are probably giving away too little. If our charities do not at all pinch or hamper us, I should say they are too small. There ought to be things we should like to do and cannot do because our charitable expenditures exclude them. So, all right, I'm going to end the week with some homework. That's what teachers do. Some questions I want you to take home and really think through this week, maybe in your quiet time. So I think they'll help you get in the mindset and really, you know, be honest with yourself. So, all right. Up here. There's 14 questions, so there's only about four. Did not come off very well, so hopefully I'll be able to see. All right, number one.
Spencer, that marker at the bottom may be better. I don't know that was. Well, on the left, maybe. We'll see. I may be wrong.
I'll just keep switching them around. Find the right one here. Hey, that one looks. Should have gone with it first. On a scale of 1 to 5, with 5 being the highest, what level of importance is money in your life? On a scale of 1 to 5, with 5 being the highest, what level of importance does money have in your life? It's a long question. All right, number 2. Were your views of money learned at a young age? Or Many people have watched and felt sometimes how their parents or caregivers handle money, and some vow to do the opposite, and then some follow in the same way because that's what they're exposed to, good or bad. So, what were your views? How they learned at a young age?
Wisely matured.
Number three. Oops. What? That's the H there. That's a percentage sign for those math. Jump right into it. According to your current financial habits, what percentage would you say you spend, save, and give monthly? And if you're a family, you can determine that answer. You know, if you have all income kind of going together, figuring that out. Figure that together. Think that the way currently viewed money is how God want you to do it.
Hey, Spencer, can you move that?
Yes.
Thanks.
Do you think that the way you currently view money is how God would want you to do it? There's no right or wrong answers. These are just questions you can work through as we kind of start the study. Give you some things to think through as we go. So, remember, there's no class next week. Holiday, right? So Isaac's going to be sharing the word with us at 9. So please come then and give him the gift of listening for that. Our next class will be 2 weeks. We'll talk about scriptures from the Old Testament that focus around giving and see if we can start answering some of these questions together. So, any questions? This is the open question period of the class. Any questions? Yes, Kristen.
I'd ask questions. First of all, I'd like the name of that book you mentioned that you found at Goodwill again. And would it be something that would be helpful to read alongside going through this, or are you just going to summarize it and cover it for us?
I'm going to try to summarize it and cover it.
Okay.
That way. It's called God and Money. There may be a few copies that might be given out during the semester, so you may want to wait.
I think it may be free on Audible.
Or it's on Audible.
Yeah, I think you can list it on Audible.
Yep.
Okay, and the name of the author is the last name of the author?
John Corten, Greg Ballmer. Johnny Martins and Greg Ballmer. Cortines. Trying to get bonus points. What else? This could be anything. It could be anything on the class. It could be personal financial stuff. My kids will tell you I like to talk about it. So,
when we think about our categories up there, the spend category, put in everything there, like what I mortgage and you know, groceries, or it's not just like fun spending, right? Or
right, yes. Okay. I think it would be everything. I mean, I think ultimately those all three would add up to 100, you know, 100%. Yeah. So,
okay.
Yep. It might be easier to go with the give and the save, and then you can basically assume whatever's left you probably spend. If you do want to talk about 401k allocations, I can. Anything else? Ah, question to the back.
Are you going to talk about debts in this category, too?
Debts,
is that for our spending?
Yes. Okay. Yep. Yes, because you have spent the money. You're just using someone else's money in the meanwhile, short run, to do it. But you are eventually spending the money on it. Yes. Definitely debts.
Spencer, we're probably supposed to repeat the question for the camera.
Sorry.
Time, but
yes.
You're fine. You're fine. You have to retroactively.
I'm trying to forget the cameras there. So the question was.
Or are they picking it up?
Ambient mic, so you're good.
Never mind. It's way off.
Way to go, Brant.
Moving it.
Anything else? And like I say, if it's something you want to ask one on one, I'll stick around here. Yeah. It's 9:45, so you got a few minutes. Other than that, we're dismissed. I'll see you in 2 weeks.
And next week, Isaac's 9. You, I assume we all know this, but we'll all be in the sanctuary.
In the sanctuary, yes. Isaac's 9, yes. Yeah. Sorry. Not here, but in the sanctuary.
Aaron's class will go till 9:50, supposedly, so we can't get in the sanctuary till 9:50.